And welcome back, Margaret B. with Bicycle Indiana, with another podcast of talking about great things, great people doing great things here in the state of Indiana on bikes. This one is a really special recording and discussion between an individual that took over my job as a league director of a youth mountain bike league for the state of Indiana. And I have a lot of history as well as experience in, you know, what he does now and building a league for kids and getting kids on mountain bikes in a safe and inclusive setting. And we kind of talk about the history of when I was part of the Indiana Interscholastic Cycling League with getting kids on bikes, and then also the great things that John Lightsall, who I'm interviewing, is doing now to improve and even broaden the reach of the league. So really excited about this discussion, and I really hope you enjoy it. And again, can't thank enough of our listeners for listening in and letting me know what they think about our discussions. And again, visit our website, www.bicycleindiana.org. Please become a member. Without your membership, that, you know, it keeps us rolling and helps us do what we do. So really appreciate it. And I hope you really enjoy this discussion. And good morning and welcome back to the Bicycle Indiana podcast, Life Behind Bars, starting off the week with a great discussion with two great humans that I've met over the years that are doing some great things with youth mountain biking in the state of Indiana. But I'm very excited to introduce a really good friend of mine, John Lightsall, who's on the phone from the region. And I'm going to just kick it off and have John introduce himself. So, John.
Well, hey, Margaret, thank you so much. It's great to be on Life Behind Bars. You've had some great podcasts already this year, and it's great that folks in all kinds of cycling around Indiana are tuning in. As you mentioned, we're kind of in the youth mountain biking niche, which is not a space I really ever expected to be in myself. My own background on the bike was track racing in grad school up in Northbrook, and then just a whole lot of tandem riding with my wife. A shout out to Hoots here in Indiana as well. But yes, I commute, I ride tandem with my wife as much as possible. I just love putting in the miles and pedaling on any surface possible. But I ended up getting involved with NICA. NICA is this National Interscholastic Cycling Association, which I got to admit, it's kind of a pretentious name, really, because I mean, the name makes it sound like it has everything to do with all kinds of cycling for kids everywhere in the country. But as some of you may have learned in the previous podcast about Stone Eater Bike Park down in Lebanon, great work there by the city of Lebanon, Kevin, Nat Lopes, and the it was a youth mountain bike league started in California that's gone national. So now there's leagues in 31 different states, over 25,000 kids, 16,000 coaches around the country. And Margaret, it was a huge part of starting NICA here in Indiana. I got involved because I had an eighth grade daughter. Yeah. Who wanted to try mountain biking. And the folks in our local bike shop in Schererville, Indiana, said, you need to talk to Daniela. There's a new team starting in the region and be a part of that. So
little did you know, coach
and try to keep up with the kids that we had and loved it and ended up serving and helping the league. And Margaret, when you stepped out of the league director role, I tried to fill your shoes, and here we've been going at it for a while since.
Yeah, that's great. I, like everyone knows on the call, my previous position was doing what John does, and it's a great fulfilling
thing in life to get kids on bikes and create school-based teams. And John, I'm thrilled to have you on this call and to kind of dive a little bit deeper in and continuation of the discussion with Stoneater Bike Park and getting kids on mountain bikes. So welcome. And let's start off by, what is NICA? I know you kind of mentioned it a little bit when you introduced yourself, but do you want to go into the nitty gritty of what NICA specifically is, like the age restrictions and kind of the whole mission and goals?
Yeah, I mean, simply put, we get kids out of the basement and off their electronic devices to be outdoors doing something healthy and fun with other humans. And that's what we're really about. We're a youth development organization that uses the bike to build, we like to say, strong minds, bodies, character, and community. And so it'd be a misrepresentation to think of us as a race promotion organization. We develop grassroots teams in communities throughout the state where adults and 6th to 12th graders can ride mountain bikes together, learn about life, build their skills, have a ton of fun, build great relationships, and have an opportunity to race in a professional grade environment.
Yeah.
And so to do that, we are reliant on volunteers in all of these different communities because it's adults who are passionate about seeing good things happen for kids and willing to either already be a mountain biker or learn to ride their bike on dirt and come alongside kids to do that. So it's typical for a team in Indiana through the summer to have a couple occasions a week where they're gathering and riding. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, only one of those feels like practice. The right. other one might feel like a ride night. But typically teams will gather and practice once or twice a week. We have an off season, a preseason, and a regular season. And as a parent of two former high school girls, I really appreciate that there's an off season because right. the traditional school sports that my girls were involved in, maybe they had a 2-week break and then it was transitioning from cross country running, boom, right into track.
Right.
And it seemed like overtraining was an issue and what had been fun could kind of become a grind. And we find with NICA that having a legitimate off season, a preseason that is more that doesn't involve as much training per se, and then a legitimate on season is a really good rhythm for young people. Right. So if you join NICA, you're not joining a cult. Right. You're joining a great community of folks who love the bike and love doing things together. So preseason is April through the end of June. Regular season runs from beginning of July to October. We do 4 statewide race events each year in the fall, 1 in August, 1 in September, 2 in October, mm-hmm. With in many cases, progression of technical difficulty of courses. Mm-hmm. You see kids developing their skills, their athleticism. But we also do a whole lot of non-competitive fun stuff. So we have riders who are going to college to race on scholarship at their mm-hmm. universities, riders who've raced in nationals from Indiana, who've raced in nationals. And we have kids who have, you know, various neurological and developmental challenges mm-hmm. who also find places on our team and are part of the NICA community.
Absolutely. So NICA, National Interscholastic Cycling Association, Nat Lopes, who helped with Stoneater Bike Park and the design, he kind of touched base a little bit about the history and how NICA started and how it was an individual, a high school teacher or principal, right, that started a team. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and reiterate what Nat was kind of talking about and how many leagues?
Yeah, well, I mean, like we mentioned, there's leagues in 31 different states right now, and that adds up to a whole lot of kids on bikes, over 25,000 kids on bikes yeah. last year as part of NICA. But the piece I want to underscore is not just, hey, this is a large, thriving national movement. It's that one person can really make a difference.
Definitely.
That what's it take to start a team in your own community? One motivated person. And that person might be a teenager who's advocating and saying, I want a team, and can find one or two adults to help sponsor that and some other kids to ride. It might be a school administrator. Mm-hmm. One of our Indiana teams was started by a middle school principal.
Yeah. Bill,
he said, this would
Bill
be
Toler.
Good for our kids. And he got that team started, and the team has outgrown that school. It's now a composite school, a composite team that encompasses more than one school. But the bar for entry to begin a team, it's low, and it's what's needed. Because we say there's all these kids and all of these teams and all of these leagues, but there's so many communities and so many schools that don't have a team.
Right.
And there's so many kids that we could be introducing to mountain biking that could be part of this kind of community that don't even know that it's possible, don't
sure.
have access. But
right.
it is possible. And part of what I do as league director is help people around the state start a team for kids in their own community.
Right.
And so there's a lot of interconnected stuff here, Margaret. I hope that gets at your question a bit.
Yeah.
But big national numbers and statistics are one thing. The reality is all it takes is a couple kids and a couple adults, and you have the nucleus for something that becomes great. That was my own entry into NICA.
Right.
Because I had my daughter who wanted to ride, and I heard there was a team getting started. And I said, oh, well, if my daughter's going to ride, I'll help coach.
Sure.
And that team started with three athletes. That was 2019, 5 years ago. And it was three kids, one girl, two boys, middle school girl, two high school freshmen. And Margaret, you'd made the best decision that year in 2019 when you decided you just judged Indiana wasn't ready to host our own race.
Yeah, my first decision.
Right? And it was a great decision because when kids are at stake, we don't want to do it poorly.
Correct.
Right? We want to be ready. We want to do it well. And you helped arrange for our little team up here in the region, all three athletes,
oh,
to
great.
Race with the Wisconsin NICA
I
League.
I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah.
And so Indiana was just getting started. And Wisconsin, we showed up with our three kids, and there were literally 600 kids
it
racing.
It was a big league. Yeah,
that
big
race.
League.
Now there's over 1,000 kids
yeah.
at your average Wisconsin race. And so we're up there, and we're just like deer in the headlights. We have
right.
not seen youth mountain bike racing on that kind of scale. And people walked up to me. I'm trying to find, where am I going to be able to cheer for my daughter? How do we do this? And people are saying, hey, you're the guys from Indiana, aren't you? What are your kids' names? And spectators, families from Wisconsin that I've never met, are starting to cheer for our little Indiana athletes by name.
No.
Now, remember, I told you my background was racing on the track and on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of supportive culture where everybody's cheering for everybody, that was foreign to me. I said, this is something I want my kid to be part of. This is something I want to be part of, because this is an environment, this is a culture that is cheering and celebrating all the kids who are participating, whether they're on your team or not, whether that kid has gotten ahead of your own kid. Cowbells, we brought rubber chickens, and it's kind of taken off around NICA now. Just so much positivity that was there. And so, yeah, our little team of three athletes has grown since then. All of those kids have grown up and graduated. All three of them are now coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we have coaches here in Indiana from 18 years old. I think our oldest coach is 70.
Wow.
So when we talk about bicycling being a lifelong activity, that's what we're doing in NICA. We're not just trying to get kids to do something during high school, and then they go off to college and they don't play football anymore. They don't play baseball anymore. Instead, they're lifelong cyclists. They're going to be fit, healthy, contributing to the community, helping build and maintain trails around Indiana as lifelong cyclists.
Well, you hit two things that I was literally just about to ask you about inclusivity and a lifelong sport. And I think that is really important for, one, our listeners to hear about what NICA does for kids and adults, right? But also on top of it, I think it's great that you're creating and teaching these kids and adults how to take care of their bikes if they get a flat, how to maintain stuff, as well as how to do safety checks and just making sure every human being that is part of the league is ready to go and equipped, whether they're with a NICA team riding that day or if they're just on their own, right?
Right on. Yeah, my daughter just started college, and in her college essays, one of the things that she wrote about was the experience of helping lead a ride for other girls in Indiana at one of our race events. At our race events, we typically have some additional activities. It's not just a race. Our race weekends are like a bike festival for the weekend. Families camping out. So much fun going on. And then there's a bike race as part of it also. And she was helping organize and lead a ride for female athletes. And one of the girls had a flat tire. And all the girls teamed up. And between them, they had all the parts and expertise they needed to get the other girl's bike back on the road and riding. And it was such a sense of accomplishment for all of them that they did that without the adults, without calling somebody's dad to come over and help.
Right.
But they had learned to do that themselves. We have, I'm just off the top of my head, within the team that I coach, we've had three of our high school boys are now working in bike shops as professional mechanics.
Oh, that's great.
There's a new team starting in the Michiana area, South Bend, Elkhart sort of zone. One of the high school athletes there, it works in a bike shop as a mechanic. These are kids who love bikes. Oh, the non-professional ones. I have parents telling me how their Nike athletes are the ones maintaining the bikes for the whole family.
That's great.
Now, one mom refers to her son as our master mechanic.
Right.
So yeah, the kids are learning about nutrition, about hydration. We put a big emphasis on risk assessment. I firmly believe that a NICA rider is going to be a safer teen driver when they get their driver's license than a kid who hasn't been in NICA. Because if you've been in NICA up until you're 16, you're learning to think about consequences. You're
right.
Learning to look before you leap.
Right.
You know, you ride that with the wheels down. You don't just send it.
Right,
first time,
right.
Right. And so these are great parts of growing up. And just yesterday, our team, the regional team that's down in the Brown County area, was riding in Brown County State Park. They were going outside the park. They were doing some lengthy rides yesterday. And the coach did a pre-ride briefing with them about backcountry considerations, about preparation, not only your hydration and your equipment, but extra caution that you might take when you're a long way away from your car or from medical assistance.
Right.
And so there's a lot of those kinds of interactions going on where we're empowering the kids to make good choices on their own and to be able to do it successfully, independently.
Yeah.
And that's a great part of growing up.
Right. Right. And you can like you said, a lifelong sport. So I'm going to dive deep into the Indiana League a little bit because we talked about the national level and you're touching base on a lot of what the Indiana Interscholastic Cycling League does. So the Indiana League is an entity of National, which is the big national NICA organization.
Right.
And the history was, even before I started, I'm going to give a shout out to Bob Bayman, who was the original OG group with a bunch of great people like us that started the league with NICA and the journey. And then I was passed on the torch and I kicked it off and made some great, you know, leaps and bounds to start the Indiana League. And then you took over. So let's talk a little bit more about the history. What do you want Indiana to know about the history of the Indiana League?
Well, yeah, a handful of things. So we talk about NICA, which is the national brand. In Indiana, we also call it the Indiana Interscholastic Cycling League.
It's
so,
a mouthful.
So you hear both, you know, you see both. But the history is one of a lot of supportive people. who've helped make this happen. You already mentioned sort of the Bob to Margaret to John torch passing at the league director level, but there's so much, there've been so much more to it than the league director level.
Yeah.
Cause there was the original founding committee before any kids were getting on bikes or we had any actual activity. The original core folks of bike shop owners and volunteer advocates in different parts of the state who were organizing and kind of putting an infrastructure together administratively. The folks who launched the first set of teams, there was foundation there. And we've had transition, as you know, some teams come and go. They come and go based on, you know, team leadership, you know, adult capacity, the ebb and flow of kids and families. Mm-hmm. And so the teams in the state today are not identical to the teams we started with. Oh, some are here, some came and went. There's been a lot of new teams, but the over the course of these, what's it been now? Five. This is our fifth season. Functionally, call it six. Because there was a full year of infrastructure development and organizing. Because to launch a team, launch a league, you need teams.
Right.
Launch teams, you need volunteers at the grassroots levels. And so across that process, we've had a lot of support from the cycling industry. You know, shops in particular in the Indianapolis area, in Terre Haute, up here in the region, you know, throughout the state. But really the growth process has depended on us also reaching beyond the cycling industry. And so we've had support, financial support to scholarship kids on bikes from groups that are not specifically cycling related, but who care about the well-being of young people in our community and want to make opportunities like this available for them. And so, you know, Nike being where it is today has not been a linear straight line process. It's been kind of zigzaggy this whole pandemic.
Up and down.
You know, it's been such a mess. The bicycling industry right now has a lot of market pressures and struggling, doesn't have a lot of finance. But cooperatively with many different types of people involved, we've been able to keep going forward. So, you know, I'm kind of skipping over a timeline here,
that's okay.
You know, that way. But there are, at the league level, not fewer than 10 essential volunteer staff positions that go into making the league operate to be able to support teams like we need to and put on the events that we do. Mm-hmm. Within any given team, there's, you know, it's possible for one person to wear the different hats on a small team. But for the typical Nike team, you have, you know, someone who's planning the practices, a head coach who's doing that. You have someone who's managing communication with families and parents and serving as a team director. And you have someone who is collecting data and reporting it. Nike nationally has what I think is the largest ongoing youth sports safety study.
Correct.
And Nike's database of reportable incidents when someone gets hurt has been really useful in reducing industries and making, you don't think about this, but mountain biking safer than Little League.
Yes.
And so, the cooperation that goes into this is very real.
Yeah.
So that's been the progress. Started in 2018. By 2019, a handful of teams were getting started, but we didn't have any races in the state. 2020, we started our first races in Indiana.
In COVID. Remember that?
Fall league, which meant that you, Margaret, were coping with cities not knowing what kinds of COVID-related precautions they ought to be taking in September and October for an outdoor event like ours. Fantastic job. We had two races that year, and they were terrific. They were such an exciting time. And my own daughter was participating And I had two daughters participating by 2021. And they enjoy the competition. They love the personal challenge. But the real highlight was how they made friends from different parts of the state. And they were looking forward to coming and participating because they were seeing kids who they enjoyed at those events. So by 2022, pandemic stuff was easing up and felt like, all right, now we're firing on all cylinders for things. And these last three seasons, 2022, 23, 24, the race event side of it, the production is smooth. The teams are used to it. New teams that start fit into a culture where their riders can be adopted by other coaches from other teams. And we kind of foster the new teams into the process. Mm-hmm. So nobody has to show up kind of like we did in Wisconsin, not knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
Our first race is in 2 weeks.
Oh boy.
It's 24 and 25. And so for the last 2 weeks during practice, coaches have been doing race prep with those athletes. So it seems we now have experienced coaches, families that are used to this. And so the production side of it is not so stressful. We know what we're doing. We've developed great relationships with different trail systems and trail managers in different parts of the state, where we're able to mix familiar race courses and routes with new and fresh ones year by year. And so, I'm really encouraged about the progress and just to say, wow, in just 5 years,
right,
we're getting here. That's pretty cool. So thanks for a good foundation.
Oh, you're welcome. But I wanted to ask one question about teams and kind of where you're standing with how many teams and kind of the regions you're covering, like where are all the teams located and kind of how many kids on average is the league helping and getting on bikes?
Yeah, great. Excellent question. Right now we're on the order of 10 teams, depending on how you count, one of which is across the border up in Michigan.
Oh, great.
And comes down and participates and races with us. There is not a Nike League in Michigan. And so across the, let me just describe something about teams. Anywhere that I say we have a team does not mean I think there's enough.
Right.
Because the team where I coach personally in the northwest corner of the state, we have riders joining us from 45 minutes into Illinois at the western end of our team. Really, we have about an hour and a half worth of driving distance between our westmost and easternmost families for our team. Mm-hmm. There is so much space to keep creating more local teams. Even in an area where there is a team, it can really help it improve access. So to get a picture of this, I want us to understand not only how the league works and how the teams work, but also issues of trail access and trail development, because there's so many factors here to create an ecosystem where the next generation of cyclists can thrive.
Right.
So across the north, so snapshot across the northern part of the state right now is we have three teams that are each covering a large chunk of the northern part of the state. So we have a team in Northwest Indiana that has a broad reach, a team in the South Bend, Elkhart, Mishawaka, Granger, Goshen area. That's a large geographical population area with one team. And Fort Wayne area, also large geographical area, large population with one team. Come downstate in the greater Indianapolis area, and my apologies to Lebanon for including them in the greater Indianapolis area. But when you live outside of Indianapolis, like I do, it's kind of easy to lump that together. And with all the work that the city of Lebanon has put into Stone Eater Bike Park, I know Indianapolis is going to be pulling up to Lebanon. So let me loop that together right now. There's a team in Lebanon. There's a North Side Indianapolis composite team. There's a Central Indianapolis composite team and a South Side Indianapolis composite team. And then in the Bloomington to Columbus area across that picks up Brown County as well, there's a composite team in that area. But nothing south of there. Currently, we don't have teams in Evansville, Terre Haute, Richmond, Lafayette, Tippecanoe area. And there's a lot of Indiana, and there's a lot of Indiana with good riders. We're doing a race this year at Muscatatuck County Park down in North Jennings. And it's a great trail system. It'd be terrific to have teams down there or closer to the river. And we just don't yet. So Indianapolis is a large population area, has the most teams. We're spreading out across the northern part of the state. But there's a lot of places in Indiana that be great to be able to get kids to be able to participate in the league. And I'm here to help anyone who wants to start a team in their own area.
Absolutely. So let's back up. You used the word composite. Can you explain?
Yes.
You mentioned it earlier in the call, but what is exactly a composite team, and what are the different types of teams that you have in NICA?
Excellent. Yes. Thank you, Margaret. So the word interscholastic, whether we're talking about the Indiana Interscholastic Cycling League or the National Interscholastic Cycling Association, it means 6th to 12th graders, kids who are in school. And it's very possible to set up a school-based team.
Right.
Yeah, I mentioned that we had a middle school principal in the Fort Wayne area start a team based in the middle school. That's a school-based team. All the athletes on the team are part of that school. Those teams are typically branded with the school name, school mascot, school logo, and have varying degrees of support from the local school administration. Some cases it may operate as a club. Some cases school may recognize it as a more official team. The other type of team is called a composite team. A composite team has athletes from more than one school, middle school, high school, multiple high schools, and so on. And currently in Indiana, we're basically composite teams around the state. We've lacked critical mass at specific schools with only a couple exceptions. But a school can be a great way to start a team. But a composite team is geographically and regionally based. A school-based team is centered around a specific school.
Right. And again, the grades are 6th to 12th grade, correct?
6th to 12th grade. And we race in a variety of different categories. One of the things I love about our league and the way that it functions is boys and girls are part of the same team. So we practice together, we ride together, we make friends together, we belong together, but we don't race against each other.
Okay.
So boys and girls race in separate categories. Right now, when the girls are racing, it's only girls on the course. At that time, they're not sharing the course at the same time with the male athletes. But during practice and in belonging, everybody's part of the same team. And out on race day, everybody's cheering for each other.
That's great. Speaking of girls on bikes, and I know your daughter or one of your daughters is really involved in this program, but can we talk about grit and how you're really focusing on getting more girls on bikes?
Let's do that, Margaret. Grit stands for girls riding together. And the, you know, the numbers of females in cycling in general and in mountain biking in particular are disappointing. Right.
Yes,
if you look at humanity in general, we're about 50-50, male, female. But cycling and mountain biking in particular is quite male. But youth sports in general are also quite male.
Mm-hmm.
Nationally, I think the averages, I don't know if I'm up to date on this, but at one point, the statistic I'd seen was about 20% females involved
in
youth sports across all the, well, Little League. You know, junior football, a lot of the young basketball, the sports that are prevalent in Indiana tend to favor the boys. And we tend to be 4-to-1 boys versus girls in these kind of youth sports. And so that's something that we want to address, because cycling is something that you can do regardless of how muscular you are. Whether you're a boy, whether you're a girl, whether you've hit puberty yet, whether you haven't hit puberty yet. Anybody can come out and enjoy a bike. And since we're trying to develop lifelong cyclists, we want to start as early as possible to help empower girls as well as boys to be able to be on the bike and succeed.
Right.
And so we had a college intern this summer, giving her attention to coming alongside teams around the state to help create some special events and on-ramps to help make sure this is a great experience for the girls. Because by and large, a girl joining a team is going to be in the minority.
Right.
And that can be a challenging place to be. Some girls are fine with that. Not all are. And so if you're trying to ride and you're the only girl at practice that day, that can be a challenging spot to be. And so we're intentionally trying to work on that by creating extra activities and opportunities for the girls to do things together. We would love to have more female coaches from around the state, because when girls see other older folks, whether they're high school athletes or adults who are riding, they say, oh, I can do this too. I can fit in here also. And so it's been great this summer, where our intern has been gathering and doing things. It's generated a high degree of community and enthusiasm among the girls. And for one of the new teams that's just getting started this year, Margaret, this is probably brand new news to you. We are slightly over 50% females.
Oh, that's great.
New team, which is pretty cool. So I feel like we still have a long way to go. The numbers that I'd love for us to be able to see ultimately would be 1-to-1 female male in our youth athletes. But given that we've historically been about 1-to-5 mm-hmm. females to males, that makes it's a reality that the girls are in a minority there. But now this year, our middle school ratio is up to 1-in-3 for the middle school girls. So it feels like we're making progress there. There's definitely a lot of room to grow. I'd love to be able to provide additional boosts and particularly help find ways for female coaches to feel secure. But we have instructors that can teach mountain biking.
Right.
The part that we can't teach, Margaret, you know this, is caring about the kids. You know, if someone wants to be involved in helping youth develop, we can teach you how to mountain bike. You don't have to be afraid about learning to mountain bike. Those are skills that we can teach and train, and we do. We have on-the-bike skills training for coaches. We have female instructors and female-only classes for those coaches to be able to learn in an environment where it's maybe less threatening than if there's a couple experienced middle-aged males who've been doing this for
right.
a long time. Right. And so, yeah, it's a work in progress, but it's an area that we're definitely investing in right now. And part of what it means is the whole family can participate.
Absolutely.
And there's very few other sports where that can happen.
Right.
Don't know any other sports where a brother and a sister can be on the same team together.
Right. So something that I want to really touch on that I think is important for one, the state to know, but also for future kids that want to join the league or coaches is the importance that NICA and the Indiana League focuses on risk management and safety. And specifically when it comes to the coaching aspect, I would love for you to discuss kind of one, if you want to become a coach, what entails for that, but also the important things that these coaches get certified in to help support these children. So do you want to dive into that?
I would be happy to, and I'm going to try to tread carefully around some other issues because it is both one of the best things about NICA and sort of a barrier to entry for some folks as well, that we have high expectations for our coaches to be willing to be trained in coaching, in instructing mountain bike skills, and in risk management. Those would be the three main areas. And so it's a time investment. It's not as simple as, hey, I love to ride my bike. I'm going to show up and ride my bike with the kids and we're going to go shred it together. And yet, remember, I'm a parent also. And it matters to me that when parents are putting their kids in NICA, that we're able to say to those parents that your kids have coaches who know what they're doing.
Right.
Mountain biking, cycling in general, but mountain biking in particular, has what we call inherent risk. There are risks involved in riding a bike. You can fall over. You can run into things that are just intrinsic to the nature of the activity. And if you removed all of that risk, you would not have the activity anymore. You'd
Right.
be doing a spin class at the YMCA.
Right.
And that's not getting kids outdoors on bikes. The issue at hand is we have to manage elevated risk. We
Right.
accept that there's inherent risk, but we need to progress riders at skill appropriate levels of challenge and teach and empower them to make appropriate choices to manage the risk. And it's the duty and responsibility of coaches not to permit elevated risk, by encouraging or leading kids into doing something the kid isn't ready for.
Right.
But instead to prepare them so that they do progress and make progress there. So one of my daughters was a pole vaulter in high school. And pole vaulting is one of those sports where there is inherent risk, right?
Right.
And what kind of training do you want your kids' pole vaulting coach to have?
Right.
What kind of training do you want your kids' gymnastics coach to have when they're flinging themselves through the air and doing these things that could result in spinal injuries? And mountain biking is a sport where it's not just setting up a few cones and kicking a soccer ball around.
Right.
It matters that we're taking care of these kids. Therefore, if someone wants to become a Nike coach, there's a process, and depending on your perspective, a bunch of hoops you have to jump through, a bunch of things you got to get done, or quality control for our coaching that ensures that the kids are safe and are being well coached. So, number one, it shouldn't surprise you in a youth sport area that there is a background check.
Yes.
But we go beyond the background check with training and sexual abuse awareness and harassment prevention, and that matters because we're creating a culture of awareness and protection for youth in sport there, where all of the coaches together can speak a common language and be common eyes with what is and isn't okay in coach-athlete interactions.
Right.
So everyone's required to train in that and hold to the criteria for that. We insist as well every year renewing your concussion protocol training. If some kid does get hurt, we need coaches on the field able to rapidly assess, is there a significant risk of concussion here? Should this kid get on their bike or not on their bike again? And how to handle that? Because all the impulse is to get up and keep riding, but we want to look out for the long-term welfare of our athletes.
Right.
And so the harassment prevention, the concussion training, and then thirdly, is risk management and coaching strategies. We're serious about our coaches being supportive and that there's no yelling and abusing or tearing kids down. And so there's all told, to become practice ready as a new coach is on the order of 6 hours of online coursework. That qualifies someone to be practice ready as a level one coach. And we have additional training and athlete contact hour work to become a level two or a level three coach within our system. At those higher levels, coaches have additional training in on the bike skills, in first aid, CPR. Level three coaches need to have some degree of backcountry first aid training in person that's been approved by the national organization, and more on the bike training and so on. So the more the coaches progress, the more experience they have, and in general, also the more training they've had along the way. So that's kind of the coaching package, Margaret. Was there more that you wanted to unpack with that?
One more, insurance. I know a lot of people ask those
Yes.
questions of like, do I get insurance or who's insured or what's that with the league and how does that work?
Right. There is a rider insurance that is included simply as part of your registration with the league. That comes through the national organization. So no one who is registered is riding uninsured. However, that insurance is a secondary insurance. It's largely there for God forbid, a major injury type
sure.
of thing.
Sure.
It's not going to cover the out of pocket to go to urgent care and get an x-ray. However, we've had historically a partnership with USA Cycling, which is a separate organization from the National Interscholastic Cycling Association, but USA Cycling, it is a group that particularly young athletes who are serious about racing may already be part of. And that partnership for us has included a couple of things.
Right.
One is that riders who race NICA races earn USAC points for their national rankings as part of the USA Cycling organization. And also a USAC athlete membership qualifies an athlete to get a quite inexpensive zero deductible insurance policy. So I point parents in that direction as well.
Mm-hmm.
That depending on the kind of family insurance you might have, picking up a USAC insurance for your athletes or for the rest of the family can be a very cost-effective investment.
Got it. I think it's great that NICA and the Indiana League offers so many resources to the coaches and to the kids, but also just to these volunteer parents or, you know, adults that want to support these kids and the different teams. So,
Margaret, I think at this point, I think about 70% of our coaches are parents.
Yeah.
Of athletes in the league and actually participating together as a family and a household. And so, this is often quality time. Sometimes athletes will do better if it's not mom or dad telling them how to improve their riding. So we mix up the riding groups at practice, but they're all involved in the same things and have a lot to talk about through it. And it seems like a lot of our coaching training also helps parents learn how to interact with teenagers.
Yeah,
which can be kind of a foreign experience for a lot of parents when their kids hit teen years. So it seems to be helpful off the bike as well as on the bike.
Sure. I want to ask this question, though, because you might have some people wanting to know, what does it cost? How much does it cost to be part of the league and what involves with that fee and how do I get registered?
Yeah, excellent. The reality is the cost, the sticker shock can be real, but it actually compares really favorably to a lot of other youth sports. So registration for the league costs $300 for the year, and that covers the connection to the national organization, the operations of the Indiana League, registration fees for all four races. It's an all-inclusive number. And but athletes also need bikes. That can be a barrier for some families to participate.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the teams have some access to loaner bikes. Certainly when we try to do try it out events, we often have parents or other athletes kind of generously saying, here, you can ride my bike for this, try it out. But the industry, the bicycling industry and local shops in Indiana have been very supportive towards athletes with discounts for registered athletes, for their families, to help reduce the barriers for kids to be able to really participate on a bike that is modern and safe and trail worthy. The fact is that a bike that's well suited for riding on the local rail trail may not be a good choice for riding single
right.
track and more rugged trails. But modern bikes from a legitimate bicycle shop can be quite trail capable without needing to be the lightest, the most fancy, the most expensive sort of bike.
Definitely.
I keep talking about my own daughters, but my daughters are riding now in college on bikes that they got as young athletes over 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Because as a family, we were able to invest with manufacturer discounts for being part of the league in a durable, high quality bike that is still serving them well. On the other hand, all the different running shoes that my kids had to go through as part of cross country, I kid you not, added up to more than the cost of their bike.
Right.
And my daughters are still riding on the same cycling shoes, helmets, and bikes that we invested in when they joined the league. So if you think about it as, just a single year investment, that first year, it's going to feel like it hits hard.
Right.
But beyond that, it actually starts paying back to the family because you're doing something you can do outside of the league as a household, indeed the rest of your life. But we do need support because there are young people in parts of the state where those kind of numbers are a real barrier for them.
Right. And
so it's been hugely helpful that we have partners who help us, scholarship kids, help make this possible. Our registration fees alone do not pay for what it takes to make this a safe and inclusive experience for all the athletes that we have. And so we've been committed to not raising that fee. It's been about the same for the last 4 years. And we seek funding. So anyone has an interest in sponsoring. Every local team is looking for sponsors. They will give, sponsor support and recognition to not-for-profit groups, to corporate groups, to businesses, local businesses there.
Sure.
At the league level, we have very real needs and opportunities where if someone wants to be part of this growing movement of getting kids on bikes and building strong communities, we'd love financial partnership there as well. It helps us get kids on bikes.
Absolutely. My next question is, and I feel that the Indiana League, but also Wisconsin, for example, the racing side of NYCA and getting kids on bikes is not as important. I know all the kids want to race and the races are really fun, but I remember Wisconsin telling me back in 2000, I think 17 or 18 when I went up to go visit, that 95% of their survey they sent out to families and kids in their league didn't care about racing. They wanted to hang out with their friends and they wanted to hang out with their families. However, racing is a huge part of the NYCA culture, the NYCA organization, and NYCA puts on phenomenal races. One, because I've been there, I've put in those stakes, I've put that tape up, I've put that snow fencing up. It creates an incredible production for these kids to make them feel incredible. Do you want to go into one, the venues a little bit more? How do you pick venues? And then let's talk about the race schedule.
Great. Yes, let's do that. Let me underscore, we have kids in the league who are very skilled, very fast, very competitive. And for them, racing is, it's a challenge and it's a joy and they thrive on the high level competition. We also have athletes who are kind of racing nervous. They're not sure they can do it. And for those athletes, racing is also valuable. It's also a really important achievement to have been successful. And we're able to congratulate kids at the completion of their first race or when they've leveled up a category and being able to have a venue, an opportunity where they have challenge and success. It's a great part of their development. And so when we put on these awesome pro-level production races, Margaret, like you're saying, we're very intentional to try to make it a good experience for the top-level racers in the league and the newest and most limited riders in the league at the same time. And so it does make the venue selection, the location, where are you going to do this? If we're going to bring 300 or 400 people together, it has to involve more than just the trails.
Right.
Because a lot of the trail systems in Indiana, I think Kevin was pointing this out in your podcast a week ago, are not designed to Correct. Host a large event. They're great for showing up with a few friends and riding. Teams can use them for practice as well. But you can't bring a dozen teams from all around the state with all their families and grandparents to come and spend a weekend camping and celebrating and having it, right? So we look for an area that we can use for a large infield. As you mentioned, the race start finish area includes quite a bit of snow fencing, start finish arch, loudspeakers, timing tents, race marshals, first aid, separate team area for every team, vendor sponsors, food trucks, you know, EMS. Local Boy Scouts selling food, RVs parked and camping for the weekend. So we need a large open space. And we need a trail system that gives us the ability to have a combination of adequate challenge for the more skilled riders without highly elevated risk for the less skilled riders. Right. So we manage that in a variety of ways. We have currently 7 different race categories times 2 for boys and girls. So all these different athletes we're talking about are divided up into as many as 14 different race categories. We've designed our race categories to be ability-based more than strictly grade-based.
Right.
And so we do distinguish between middle school and high school. But within those categories, we have skill-based levels that have differing levels of challenge. Right. So the introductory middle school level will do a single lap. The intermediate middle school level will do 2 laps. The advanced middle school level will do 2 laps, but we'll be doing it at a higher pace. And the high school level, the base level is doing 2 laps. That's the same as the advanced middle school level. But then we have 2 JV categories that are racing 3 laps, mm-hmm. but at different paces. And then our varsity level, where the trail system permits it, we add additional trail challenge sections that have higher level of technical difficulty. So a varsity rider is not simply a faster rider. They're able to handle more significant mountain biking challenges. They're going over drops. Right. They're doing significantly more climbing. They're running through rock gardens, turning a 180 degree corner and going straight up the next hill without any momentum. And then doing it again and again on the next laps.
Right.
So unlike a lot of other high school sports where every team has its own varsity riders. And like, if you're the better rider on your team, you're going to be varsity. In our mountain biking league, there's statewide criteria for becoming varsity. It's not just that you're faster than the other kids on your team. It's that you're in the category that can ride the more challenging trails at a fast enough pace based on statewide norms.
Right.
And what I've observed, Margaret, is year after year, our better riders are getting better and better, if I can put it that way.
Right.
Right. The level of Indiana riding is going up noticeably for young people, for middle schoolers and high schoolers over the course of the last 5 years.
Right.
Indiana riders should be excited about that.
Yeah.
We're finding that the level of challenge that we're putting into our own race courses is going up season by season. And so at our race weekends, we have 2 days and both days really matter. I think for folks who've done bike racing of many sorts, it's kind of common. In one case, a lot of times you're racing and you're not part of a team at all. And if folks are part of a team, there might be a team tent, but the culture tends to be, if I'm racing, I show up a little bit ahead of the time of my own race. I go through my warm up. I ride my race. If I didn't make the podium, I'm probably packing up and going home. If I made the podium, I'm going to wait for the award ceremony and then I go.
Right.
A Nike race is a very different culture to that. It's a full weekend of festival and activities together where Saturday morning, families from different parts of the state, but especially ones who are in the region where the race is being hosted, get together. And we set up all that snow fencing you were talking about. We are out in the woods marking most corners. There's a lot of course tape in the woods. Our courses are marked so that the athletes have no surprises. We want them to be able to modulate their speed appropriately coming into a corner. If there's a drop coming up or a steep climb or a steep downhill, we want them to know what's going to be there so that they can tackle it appropriately. And then, so after setup is pre-ride, and athletes ride with their coaches. They go out on the race course. They might session particularly challenging features. They'll typically do kind of a slow lap with some sessioning of features. That's a reconnaissance lap. And then go back out to do a moderate to hot lap. And typically the faster, more experienced riders will do a full-on hot lap by the end of the afternoon. We also then we do rubber chicken relays.
I was going to say, we got to talk about that.
I don't know
that.
If you've seen the rubber chicken relays in action, because that was new last year, where it's a short course, grass course out in the infield where we have at least four teams running heats, relays, passing a rubber chicken back and forth. It takes about 30 to 45 seconds per lap. So it is wild. It is crazy. Oh, I'm sure. Everybody's cheering. When that's done, there's usually an ice cream social. Folks who are camping on site are cooking out, having bonfires. And then Sunday is race day. And middle school boys go first. Highest category goes off first. There's a delay for a couple minutes. Then we send the intermediates. Then there's a couple minute pause and we send the less experienced riders out. They do their laps. And there are all the high school athletes are out on the course in various locations, just cheering for the kids while they're out there.
Yeah.
Each time they come back through the infield, an announcer is reading their nameplate. Someone's calling off their name as they come through. People are cheering for every athlete as they come by. When the middle school boys are done, is the girls wave. Starting with the high school girls through the middle school girls, we send the girls out on the course. And then when the girls race is finished, it's high school time. Varsity riders go out first, right through the base level high school athletes. And when it's finished in the afternoon, everybody's participating in cleanup. We clean up the entire park. And then we do the race awards. And there's podiums for the ability categories. There's a lot of giveaways. Thanks again to sponsors who help make that possible. And we have team rankings. So there's individual podiums for each race and team rankings for each race. And it's a point series across the course of the season as well.
And on
so
top of
what
that,
else can I tell you about the racing?
Right. USAC is sanctioning and kids part of the league and those races get USAC mountain bike points, correct?
Exactly. These are USAC sanctioned races. The points, you know, from your ranking, your placing in the NICA races based on your category is automatically uploaded to your USAC rider number and factors into your USAC riding. Yep.
That's great.
Yep. So we have a number of athletes in the league who are also part of other groups, groups like Midwest Devo, for example.
Yeah.
We've had riders who are part of regional and national development teams
yep.
as well. And so being part of NICA is not exclusive. We love to have our athletes riding on the road, on the gravel, on track, riding with other groups as well. We find for some of our athletes that NICA is the one they say is fun for them. Mm-hmm. And so it creates a bridge between some athletes who are very hardcore in their riding and athletes sure. who are more casual. And when we have a race weekend, everybody's participating at their own ability.
Sure. I think one of the biggest, fondest memories, I mean, the whole time being part of NICA as league director, but the biggest memory I have is it was up at Stony Run, and I can't remember what year it was, but we were setting things up and teams were trickling in to start setting up their tents and their campsites. It was at Stony Run. And there were kids that were just playing, not on their bikes, in the field, and they were throwing a Frisbee or a football. And I just thought, that was just the most incredible thing. They weren't on their phones. They weren't even riding their bikes. They were just playing as kids out in the sun, having fun, laughing. And then they eventually started doing some other, you know, non-biking activities. But I remember looking at somebody and said, I'm, you know, Nike is doing what it's supposed to be doing, which is getting kids outdoors away from screens and playing and having fun.
That is so good, Margaret. You know, we've leaned into that recently. We've got families bringing volleyball nets, four square in the air,
oh, fun.
You know, beanbag toss sort of things, sure. Just to facilitate those kinds sure. of interactions together.
So I'm going to ask a really maybe tough question here, but we did interview Dino and we talked about his mountain bike race series. Now, granted, he is kids and adults, but what makes Nika different than other cycling teams and other cycling races?
Excellent. Excellent question. And, you know, and to be clear, a lot of the youth who race Dino are part of Nika.
Correct.
And we have deliberately and intentionally structured our race calendar to not conflict with the Dino calendar. Dino's been here longer than we have. It's been a great part of the mountain biking community in Indiana. I've volunteered with Brian at his Winona Lake race each of the last several years just to help make that happen because it's good for cycling across sure. Indiana. And part of where Nika fits into the ecosystem here is we want to help make cycling better for everybody.
Right.
And so, but there are real qualitative structural differences in the concept of things because Dino is a race series. Nika is a league that has races.
Right.
And those are two, that's apples and oranges. Superficially, you can say, oh, well, each of them do mountain bike races. But being part of Nika, it's a team experience for the whole family throughout the whole summer.
Right.
It's not an event you go to. It's something that you're part of. You belong. And the core part of Nika is not the races. It's that twice a week, I'm meeting up with my friends and we're going riding.
Right.
And I'm learning. I'm being taught and trained how to do this better. And so it's maybe not surprising that Nika riders do so well at Dino races. A lot of our youth are racing the adult categories in Dino and are leading on the podium
right.
this year. Shout out to Brendan. You're doing
right.
great, man. And so belonging to Nika, there's a reason I use the language of belonging. You don't go to Nika, you belong to Nika.
Right.
And that's part of what we're offering for kids and families throughout Indiana is a supportive community that is together. Yes, it's on the bike, but it's not just about the bike. And so, the week to week interactions culminate at the races and it's a great chance to see each other. We also, I think those are probably the qualitative differences. There are other quantitative ones. Nika races are youth specific.
Right.
It is centered all around the kids. Everybody who is there at the Nika race is there to make it great for the kids.
Right.
And so that affects just the culture and the expectation. There are no adults doing their own race at a Nika race. Every adult who's out there on a bike is there to help the kids have a great experience. And so you end up having, let's say recently, 150 Nika athletes. So 150 sixth and 12th graders from around Indiana come into race and an equal number of adults making that happen for them. That is a tremendous investment in youth here in Indiana.
Definitely. So I've got a couple more questions and I promise you I'll be done asking the questions. Let's talk about the Trek raffle. That's something that was really important when I was league director and it's really important now for you and fundraising. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Let's do that because it is about to launch at the end
of
this week. So the timing is great. I mentioned that the bicycle industry has been tremendously supportive of NICA and how we're getting kids on bikes nationally. So the Trek Bicycle Corporation, SRAM, Specialized, the big names in cycling are also involved with NICA. And one of the ways that Trek has been supportive to Indiana is that each of the last several years, they have put up a sweet high-end mountain bike as a giveaway for us. And so when people make a donation to the league through the Trek fundraiser, you get an entry for a chance to win a really sweet mountain bike. So the last couple of years, it's been a high-end Trek Top Fuel 9.8 XT. This year, Margaret, I don't know if you're up to date. They've upgraded that. It's going to be a Super Caliber SLR. And so, yeah, for folks who aren't aware, that is Trek's sweetest. It's basically the bike that they put their mountain bike team athletes on. And it is a really lightweight kind of, what do you call half, not quite full suspension, halfway. It's got a mid suspension setup, and they're lightweight, they're fast, they're crazy good bikes. And when you've got a $6,000 to $8,000 bike up for grabs, it's well worth making a donation to the league. But just in reality, I think most of our podcast listeners here are part of the cycling community. But part of what NICA and NICA athletes do is reach outside of the cycling community, because grandparents, relatives, classmates, coworkers, are all vested in the success of the kids. And so up to this point, a lot of the actual money that comes in from the fundraiser is from outside of the cycling community. And so it's kind of ironic that we're giving away a really sweet mountain bike, and the person who wins it may not actually themselves be a rider. But grandma would be happy if Junior got the bike, and so that'll be posted on our website coming up here, not before this weekend. We're timing the launch to coincide with a week before our first race weekend. But if you know a kid who's part of NICA, you can support it directly through that athlete, and you can support through your local team. The way the fundraiser works is that we want this to be a way that each local team can benefit. And so half the money from the fundraiser goes to the local team and half goes to the league operations. And so by supporting your local team, you're helping make sure that they can get kids in their own community on bikes, help them get purchase loaner bikes, equipment, tents. One of the things that the team where I coach did was we helped get coaches packs that have spare tubes, a pump, small first aid kit, and things so that each of the coaches is equipped during our rides for whatever the kids might need when we're out there. So yeah, I'd love to encourage anybody and everybody to get on board with the fundraiser. In addition to the bike that's coming from Trek, they're also offering up some of their new Blaze helmets, one of their helmets, light sets. And those helmets and lights, they're good whether you're on gravel or on pavement. It doesn't have to be just on dirt.
So you heard it, Indiana, from the boss of the Indiana League Trek Raffle Super Caliber. They're raffling it off to help kids get on bikes. My last question, well, I guess kind of a mush of two questions. So obviously what's next is the race season. You've got a race coming up on the 24th and the 25th of August. And I know for a fact, because I used to put these on, you need volunteers. So how
And
can
I
people
didn't even
get?
tell you where the races are yet.
Oh, that's right. So
You had
let's
asked me about that, and then I dropped the ball on it.
Sure, that's okay.
So yeah, there's a progression in challenge and a distribution in geography. So our first race of the season, it's been our first race each of the last couple of years, is at Stony Run County Park. It's in the northwest part of the state. It's the interface between Crown Point and Hebron, Indiana. It's one of the Lake County parks. And normally, Lake County parks don't allow mountain biking in any of the county parks, but we've built a great relationship with the park district. And we are in the process. We've built more trail each year there. And so this venue has really developed. It deliberately does not have a lot of technical writing challenges. It's a fast, flowy, fun course that's well suited to the beginning athlete, and our varsity athletes set some crazy times on it as well. And so that's, yeah, August 24 and 25. If you're in the northern part of the state, come on over and check us out. We'll be there all day Saturday. We'd love to have your help setting up. And the race itself starts Sunday morning. The first wave goes off at 9:30. Then we are moving over to Winona Lake. Winona Lake Trails, big shout out to Kosciuszko County Velo. They do a tremendous job with those trails, and they are tremendous hosts for us. It's almost a month after our first race. That's intentional. September 21 and 22. It gives coaches an opportunity to have a few more practices with their athletes to debrief after their first race experience and get ready for what's a significant step up in technical challenge. A lot more climbing at Winona Lake than at Stony Run. So we'll be out there 21st and 22nd of September. Then we head south the beginning of October, 5 and 6. We're down at Muscatatuck.
Fun.
That's a long time Dino race location, first time NICA location. We have a fun, flowy loop there. It's got some additional varsity challenge sections that we're going to be throwing in. And it's a taste of Southern Indiana riding for athletes from the north that otherwise may not have experienced that. And as Kevin Krulik and Nat Lopes were talking to you about last week, we are excited to really kick off the new Stone Eater Bike Park in Lebanon with a grand opening and first major event at the end of October, 26 and 27. Stone Eater Bike Park, it's live. They have worked so hard on that park over the last 4 years. And it's a great mix of all weather trails and these skills loops in the woods. So we're putting together different race courses for different category ability levels to have appropriate challenge for the state championships there at the end of October.
That's great.
So to get more information about the races or to find out how to get involved, hop onto our website. It's indianamtb.org, indianamtb.org. And for each of the races, there's a spot where you can click in. The volunteer signups should be live. For race one, volunteer signup is live. Race flyers there. You can get all kinds of information. And we add the information for each race venue progressively. So I don't think 2, 3, and 4 are up to date yet. But folks can put those on their calendars and check in.
Sure.
It's also a great place to find a team near you. Find out who's the contact for the coach.
Right.
Or they can just email info@indianamtb.org and we'll get back to them about how to get connected somewhere close to them.
And also, Indiana listeners, if you volunteer at one of the races, you can do an on the bike position, which is always a fun, great thing to get your workout in, to get your ride in, but also help John out, make sure that he has the correct volunteers, but also the right people out there on bikes to make sure the kids are safe, right?
Yep. There's on the bike and off the bike volunteering. I mean, we need things as simple as registration help and parking management to as challenging as being a roving course marshal on the bike throughout the race time.
John, it's been such a great discussion, and I'm always excited to talk to you about getting kids on bikes. I'm thrilled that your season is going very well. And Doug's calling now. Really thrilled that you are thriving and doing great with getting the league ready to go for the 2024 season. Again, I will drop information into our description, as well as visit www.indianamtb.org and connect with John today. I'm excited to edit this and get it out to the public. But John, as always, beyond excited to talk to you, and good luck to you this season. And I look forward to seeing you at Stone Eater Bike Park.
Oh, yeah. Margaret, thank you for all you're doing around the state, helping cycling in all of its various incarnations. Great talking with you today.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, John. Thanks again.
Bye for now.
All right. Bye.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We hope you really enjoyed this podcast. For more information about our organization and other future podcasts, visit www.bicycleindiana.org. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a really great day.